Right, welcome everybody. Pauline, do you have any apologies to report?
Oh yes, well, just the committee really. Merv Quick, Beth Roberts and Joy Matthews. I haven't had any from the retirees, I'm afraid. That comes via Merv and he normally sends them on, so I can just assume we have got a good attendance, I believe, though.
Yes, I think we have. And very early too. So 10 minutes to my screen was completely full already. And we're now up to several screens. So welcome, everybody. We've got two speakers for you. I haven't integrated all their slides, so I will flip from one slide set to another. I guess we should be very happy to proceed. Nari, are you there?
I did see her, yeah.
So, hi, Eric. Sorry, I was fumbling around for my unmute button. So just trying to unmute myself. But I do have some slides to share. But just before then, just to say lovely to see everybody's faces. Many apologies that it couldn't be an actual face-to-face in Hursley. It was just one of those timing issues where we weren't quite sure how open we would be. So it was a bit of a safer bet to keep you all safely in your homes for a little bit longer. But I absolutely do look forward to welcoming you over the coming months and certainly for the AGM next year, face to face, one would hope. So let me just see if I can share a screen. Hang on a minute, this may take me some time. Do bear with. Seems to be preventing me from sharing.
You now said multiple participants can share simultaneously, so you should certainly be able to.
Yes, it's saying that I cannot.
Oh. Which is all going... participants can share, apparently.
Is there a quick way I can send it to somebody and they can...
Yes, you send it to me, eric.bodger@gmail.com, and I will get it up.
Okay. Talk amongst yourselves then whilst I do that.
I'm sure worse things have happened on these technologies, Zooms.
I have sent you something, Eric. I do hope it's the right material. And I haven't sent you my holiday snaps from 2019 or something.
Nothing's arrived just yet. I shall go and check.
Okay. But look, let me just then start by sort of, I'll give you the sort of little bit about me. I have been in IBM for approximately 22 years. And one of the delightful things about this company I have found and many others have spoken about is what a wide and wide variety of career that we can have when we're here at IBM. So I started off in North Harbour as a telephone sales representative, is where I started off my days, interacting with clients across all of our product portfolios. Obviously, I only had a light smattering of understanding because we have quite an extensive portfolio. So that's where I started off my career. And then I took a jump into HR. So I became an HR specialist on very many and varied topics, and then landed as an HR partner into the Hursley site. And I live very locally. I live 5 minutes away. So it was delightful that I could get back to this site where my mum had also worked in previous years. And so it was a very familiar site to myself. So I was an HR partner for many of the product groups here. And then I ended up being Stephen Warwick's lead HR partner, vice president for the labs locations. Then shifted into an EA role directly for Stephen. So he was VP of automation at the time. And labs leader, and I did that sort of EA, so sort of chief of staff role for him for a number of years, which was really interesting. Lots of variety, got the opportunity to travel to other development lab sites. Zurich is a really delightful trip for me to go on. So, and then last year I took the opportunity, because I'm sure many of you know that Paul Ketley retired last year, and he was the Hursley Labs location leader. So I've taken on his responsibility. And also DevIT in the UK. So I have those two teams. And so DevIT obviously are there as a support function infrastructure for our products. And we support products globally. And then the other side of the labs role is where I get to do all sorts of things, from business controls to engagement and talent across the site, to site issues. So from one minute I'm walking around seeing what trees need pruning, to what carpet could need cleaning, or what toilets need fixing. So completely varied varied roles and opportunities for me, which has been delightful. And I really don't ever want to leave, because there is much more to be done, and a super set of people that I really enjoy working with, as I'm sure many of you can attest to during your tenure at IBM, that it is, a lot of it is the people as much as the product that keeps us together and keeps us engaged. So Eric, any sign of my presentation yet, or am I going to have to do this all off the cuff with just visuals?
We've lost Eric as well at the moment.
Oh, Eric's left his seat entirely. I'm obviously riveting for my first 5 minutes. okay, well, I'll carry on without slides. So then Stephen Warwick, as I said, was the Hursley Labs location lead, and he still remains in that role. However, in January of this year, he is now Vice President of Technical Sales, so has moved out of the development lab organisation into the IBM technology. Yes, Sue, I saw that face. but you know, which actually really, you know, so he's still doing the labs leader's role and will continue to do so for a time, which is really great. But what actually his new role does bring is even closer interlocks between the technical sales organization and IBM technology and our development labs, which we are seeing, which is really, really important. We've had recent visits from Sriram, who's the GM for the UK, and his boss, Anna Paolo, came in last week to the Hursley Labs. And we were talking a lot about how we can more closely align, and how, in fact, they can use us to help with their sales. And, you know, we have tried to do that. What we found that's been interesting from a Dev Labs is that we have more interaction with clients in different geos than we do in the UK necessarily. And so it's really nice that Sriram and Anna Paolo have really understood our value and want to hook into us more and work more closely with the briefing centre here in Hursley and our dev teams to closely align from a UK perspective. So looking forward. BBC or anything, Eric, that's all I'm saying. Just have it amongst your retiree community. Look, you know, from a Hursley perspective, what's also been nice, as I'm sure you're very well aware, we have had redundancies in our development labs. We didn't have any last year, and there was further commitment from Arvin this year that we wouldn't be having any this year, which is a really, really good thing to hear, that they're focused on growth and growing our talent. We've also managed in Hursley to retain and be part of really key and important missions from the AI and hybrid cloud space. So we know what these are. We have got IBM Consulting that are still here. We've got the Cloud Packs, Cloud Pack for integration and other Cloud Packs. We have dev teams that work with the Cloud Pack strategy. We have links with Red Hat, and we're talking about getting a small team of Red Hatters into Hursley because they would like to utilize our space, which I think is really good for us. And we've got all the infrastructure, cloud, public cloud systems, as you know, enterprise infrastructure and edge. So we really are touching on all the key important strategic imperatives for Arvind. And so that's really nice to see that we are linked in closely with the missions for the globe. This does mean that we feel some level of confidence that we are a strategic site, and we will look to remain there. And we have seen, and we will continue to see, investment in our site, which I think is really good. And that enables us to continue to look forward and grow talent and expertise in Hursley. You may have seen that last week Arvind was in London, York Road, for those of you that may have worked closely with and been to the IBM South Bank location. That has now closed and we have consolidated and we're sharing a shell building, which is not too far along the way and still has a beautiful view of the Millennium Wheel and still very near in walking distance to Waterloo. So that was formally opened last Thursday. And so that is a really great site and opportunity for us. I think IBM South Bank was looking slightly tired. So that was a really good and yet another, you know, positive thing from a UK perspective with regards to investment in sites for us in the UK.
Sorry, Nairi, can I just ask how many floors you've taken over in that shell building?
Now, I think I'm going to say... Five.
Oh, right. That's pretty good then. Yeah.
It is. And I think it was one of those things, Pauline, actually, that I think Shell initially had bought all of that site and were going to utilise it. Obviously, much like all of us with COVID, etc. I think that then put a different spin on their capacity or their desire for that footprint and capacity. And so I think we took advantage of that to some extent and helped each other out to say, actually, we're looking for some new space. We shall take some of your floors. So it was mutually beneficial from that perspective. Because it really is still near to where we are, because we are, and I can go on to talk about it, obviously, from a point of view of the hybrid model of working now. Obviously, our footprint essentially wasn't needed to be so big. And so that was one of the benefits of them of collaborating with Shell. It does mean they get additional perks like free tea and coffee every day, which we don't get here in Hursley. But I...
Full circle.
Yes, yes, I know.
They don't have a trolley that comes round, though.
But, yeah, so I think it will be one of my list of things to do that the employees will say, please, can we have a similar offering here in Hursley? So, but at the moment, we only offer free tea on a Wednesday between 1 and 3. But we are trying to some extent. So, but, yeah, you know, back to the Hursley site. I continue to sort of drive new use cases for Hursley. Now, by that, I mean we have rented out the stables to Incuhive. Some of you may be well aware of that. And so that was a good initiative that Paul actually instigated and drove through because they obviously did a small fit out, which was at no cost to us. And therefore, they get to use that space. That's brought with it excitement and some challenges of the new dynamic of having non-IBM people using the site. It's something that's it's a work in progress. But yeah, ultimately, that has been a benefit. And I think possibly, who's to know, due to the hybrid model, whether or not it might be worth us looking to do that in other bits of the site as we consolidate our footprint as to whether or not we would look to maximise opportunities with third parties on other parts of the site. That's always something that we need to sort of be thinking about, bearing in mind I don't think we are going to get to full capacity again. Because I think the COVID has driven that hybrid working model slightly more for us. But I continue to have close partnerships with the local council and parish, looking for things around sustainability. Do we want to use part of our car park for solar panels? Things like that. So, you know, always looking for different and new opportunities to try and, you know, one from a sustainability and green perspective. But, you know, I think it's nice to be forward thinking and to use our site sensibly where we can. Looking again at cycle paths for our employees and working with the council on what we can do that in the local surrounding area. Lots of green initiatives. Mike Brook, some of you may know Mike. I think he works in Kix. Sue, do you know him? Yeah. So he is our, you know, he runs our green team. So lots of lovely green initiatives coming from Mike and the team. Last year they did tree planting of 500 trees on site. They've also done bird boxes, things like that. So lovely initiatives to try and really and trying to get some national status for us as a site. So lots of lovely positive things happening around that for our employees. As we all know, sustainability and climate is important, increasingly more so. We all know we're slightly behind with all of those things. So these are really important things that our employees are really keen to get involved in, really good for engagement. So focusing and continuing to do work and activity on those things. I picked up this site in Hursley from Paul, and it was in its most locked down essential workers state at that time. So we only had a very small footprint of what we would say were critical essential workers on site. So we were sort of in the low 90 to 100 persons on site during that time. I've been working with I am on the crisis management team. So worked with them since I came on board in March of last year on how to support our site and doing the right thing for our employees, and how, as we've begun to go through the process using the corporate playbook, how we work with that playbook to enable us to get back to how we are now, which was we've recently opened up to 100% with no restrictions, i.e. so masks are not mandated, we have no social distancing, etc. So we've gone, and it has been working well, but we've worked very closely with our employees, trying to be mindful of those that are still very susceptible and or are sheltering at home. And we work with our PWDA and other members of site to try and make sure that we're providing the right facilities. This does mean in some areas we've made a mask on mandatory area, so that those people that feel that they do want to come to site but still want to be masked up have a space where they can feel comfortable that they do that. We've also introduced a traffic light lanyard scheme, which is green like me, yellow or red. So green means happy to interact, yellow means please keep your distance to 2 meter, roughly speaking, and red is please keep away, or sort of, you know, don't want to be approached. And we have mostly green lanyard wearers at the moment, which I feel is probably normal because those are the people that feel more comfortable to start coming in. We do have so Peter from the museum, when I went to meet him the other day, he was in a red lanyard, and I knew then immediately to put my mask on and keep my distance. So I think it's been a very good, useful scheme to try and cut away that oddness that it felt to sort of say, are you okay for me to talk, did you want me to put a mask on. So we're just trying to do that to try and make things better for people as they come back to site.
How many are on site, Larry? How many average a day?
In my slides, Pauline, which you can all peruse afterwards. But let me just get that to the front. So average per day in January was 123, February was 194, and March is 318. So it's on average a 4.2 increase per day.
It's going up. Yeah.
It's going up. And yeah, so, you know, and so, which is what we expected. I mean, I don't particularly really think we'll get to a real understanding of what our new hybrid working model is until after April, probably after sort of the Easter half term. But it has been really lovely to sort of see people creeping back in to their office spaces tentatively. And, you know, so seeing some familiar faces I haven't seen for 2 years, and just it is really nice for people to just interact in that way. So we can see that slow coming back of groups, but we're just being very mindful. We have a working pledge, which is about being really confident about how people want to come back. You know, but I think our business lines and what we get a sense of feeling for is, I think we'll get our Tuesdays and Thursdays will be a really key day for our business lines. I think everybody's sort of trying to commit to those days, because we have really noticed that we've been very lucky as an organisation that we could predominantly work from home, and that didn't stop us necessarily, whereas we know other businesses were completely closed from this pandemic. But I think where we have missed out is that teaming, that social interaction has been very much missed, and some of things like pair programming, all of the things that you would understand that developers would want to do, whiteboarding, things like that. So there are definite gaps for us to fill. It's probably not going to be a 5 day week, but actually, as many of you know, that we were flexible anyway, so I don't think there was any true 5 days a week people necessarily in Hursley, but I think it will be a blend. conscious of time. We did, obviously, and I don't know whether any of you used it, we supported having a mobile testing unit on site, so working with the Hampshire County Council and the local government to ensure that we were there and they were able to have a mobile testing unit for the public. So that has been gone down well. That will now stop, obviously, under government guidelines. It's our last mobile testing unit may be on here next week, and that's it. So at the end of March, stop.
Testing mobile what?
Oh, mobile COVID. COVID testing.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Testing your mobile. My phone's not working.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You know, lovely IBM, with our abbreviations for everything and our absolute arrogance to think everybody knows what we're talking about. But there you go.
I'm watching you. So,
COVID-19 testing unit, Richard. Thank you. So we've had them on site, which was really great. We also supported, for any of you that watch Netflix and The Crown, we had all of their team here, not filming this time. I'm fingers crossed they might use us in, I don't know, another season. But they came and asked us if they could use our car parks, because they were shifting all of their employees and people into Winchester during Christmas market time to shoot some of their scenes for season 5. So that was nice. So we worked with them. so they used our, I didn't get in any background shots. I was really disappointed about that. That was one of my prereqs for them using the car parking. But no, I wasn't, they didn't make me available to that. But so that was nice. It's been really nice to be able to, you know, utilize the site in different ways during under the COVID pandemic, and you know, just utilizing the space that we have for others and for people to take benefit from it. We've been able to, under the we've done a lot of essential roof, windows and ground maintenance, which is not truly exciting, but it is for us. But yeah, so we've done a lot of our glazing and everything. So that has really, and essential roof maintenance, as I said. So that's been useful. And bearing in mind, there's been lots of scaffolding things and up. So if there was a tiny upside of not having many people on site, it was the fact that actually those teams could come in, work effectively and not disrupt our population too much. And so that's been underway. And we've also done a fit out of C1 South, so a floor which I'm currently sitting in, which but I'm sitting in a meeting room, so I'm not sure you can really see it. But this is a lovely space for our development, our dev labs, which is really good. Lots of sit stand desks, really good open space, collaborative space. So very excited. We haven't given it to anybody yet. We're trying to look at creatively utilising it and for as many people as possible to be able to use this space, or for our product teams to use it for either drop in or for squads and meetings and things. So that has gone down really well for those people that have used it during the lockdown. And as we begin to open up, it's become a really nice hub and focus. We are also doing a feasibility study to do a similar fit out in DM2, for those of you that remember DM2, which is our biggest footprint, which is also what I take from this is another good investment for the site, which means it's showing that we're here to stay and we have value and it's strategic, and it really does go well from an engagement perspective with our employees from a point of view of investment. And let me just flick through. I'm happy to take any more questions. I'm at my 25 minutes up. Seeing if I've missed any key little buzz points. Oh, and the dig's going to be back for those of you that were interested. I didn't know whether or not any of you managed to.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, to the Hursley dig. So I have said it was really, really successful. And interesting, and we've said that they can come back in June and take up different parts, because they'd like to explore slightly different parts of the building. So we're going to be doing that. So I'm sure we can connect Eric and Pauline, if that would be of something of interest, that we can get groups to come on and
be good. Yeah, to say it wasn't advertised before. We just happened to, we quite like walking around occasionally, so it just happened on it, and they looked quite a jolly crowd. They looked like they were enjoying themselves.
Yes, and we even found a gold ring. Very exciting. yes, so I know. So, we'll be able to have the exhibits and everything so you can sort of see what was found. So, yes, lots of exciting finds from there and very interesting for the archaeology, for the dig, for the Winchester dig. And so they were very keen to come back. So, but yes, let's connect to make sure that you get the opportunity to come.
Yeah,
I think, I mean, I could ramble on more. Sue knows me very well. I can ramble on for hours. I think that's as much as I would like to share at the moment. I know I've overrun for questions, but I am really super happy to do something else, come again, bring some different speakers, to ensure we're maximising your requirements and what you would like would be really good.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Nairi. That's been extremely interesting and really quite inspiring. And simple ideas like the lanyard, I didn't think about it, but once you hear about it, it's such an obvious thing to do and so useful for the world at large.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, really good.
You know, we could all do that around the supermarket.
It gives us all a real sense of hope for the future of a place I think we all love. It was one of the things about Hursley was that once somebody arrived here, it was very hard to get them to move anywhere else. And
really true, Eric. And I think you will all understand that actually in the last 2 years, that's been quite a challenge for us to, because we've had lots of new hires, but people that haven't actually stepped foot and experienced what that magic source is about, what it is about being in Hursley. And so we're really, really pleased that we can get the site opened up and try to ensure that those our new starters can really experience that, because we hear that a lot from people, that they've been offered more money and different things, but actually they've stayed here just because of it being Hursley and because of the people. And I think so we are very keen to open up to ensure that people get that experience. And it has just been lovely already just to be able to sit down and talk with people at all sorts, just learn about what they're doing, because it's really hard remotely to sort of just keep your finger on the pulse of all of the great technology that flies out of Hursley, and it's difficult to do that when you're remotely working. So we're delighted that we can all come back and begin to really get that collaboration again. And we are looking to try and do some events, so some opening up events, so I will definitely keep closely linked, because it would be really lovely, especially if we're doing like a festival of innovation or something where we can kind of give you access, or you can come in and see some of our tech and things. That would be really lovely, and you could then connect with old friends, etc. So I will try to look to see if we can find any opportunities with the events that we're bringing back online this year, see if we can invite you in.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much. We had a presentation from Steve Northam about IncuHive at Hursley.
Oh, did you? He's a very interesting chap, isn't he?
He is. He was a student of mine when I taught at the University of Winchester.
Oh, amazing.
And the interesting thing was, he said he'd got quite a few IBMers coming in because the lab was closed.
but he really did.
Wanted to interact.
I know, he did. It's just a really interesting dynamic for us, isn't it? It's something new for us to do. And so there's always a few teething problems around the challenges of different people coming on site that aren't IBMers, that kind of don't know the usual form of things from a point of view of how to use the site. But yeah, I mean, it's been really nice. And I know they've got a really good makerspace, which is really good for sort of the IBMers to collaborate. So I think there's more work that could be done with them this year to collaborate well. So it has been nice. But
My apologies for the technical problem that you couldn't show your slides.
My setup, Eric, maybe my setup on Zoom or something. So I don't really use Zoom, I think. So maybe I needed to change my settings for it to be able to share my screen. So I'm sure the problem was not your side. It was my technical inefficiency with Zoom.
no worries. We can circulate, make a PDF out of them and circulate it. And so people who missed out. But I think you were able to be much more informal without slides. So it was a great presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric. I love a bit of freestyle. Well, anyway, I do. If it's okay, if no further questions, it would be all right if I drop off for the rest of the session. Yeah. I shall look forward to seeing many of you later this year, I do hope. And take care of yourselves.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Right, I'm going to hand over now to Robert Tickell to tell us about the Pensions Trust.
Thanks, Derek. Yeah. Eric, are you going to be able to show my simple charts or not?
Yes, I can show them if you wish.
Yeah, that'd be great. They're not on my iPad, and that's what I'm using. I've got my charts up here on my PC, but that would be helpful.
Okay. Sorry. The merry joy of not being able to share your screen while it's while it's in full screen mode.
There we go.
That's perfect.
But now good. I think we are. Yeah.
And you see it all right. Great. So good afternoon, everyone. For those of you who weren't on last year's call, I'm Robert Tickell, the retiree member nominated director, but I'm also at the moment the chair of the board, as I have been for, I suppose, almost 9 years now. So I've got a very simple chart that I'll talk around. Eric, is this call being recorded or not? Clearly, if it's being recorded, I'm going to be much more circumspect.
Okay, I shall stop the recording.
Okay, that's fine. No, it's entirely up to you. I will just sort of be able to say things that
I'll have to unshare my screen while I do that. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
That wasn't my phone that went pink.
She's very good.
She hasn't.
Where's the meeting controls?
It's a pity we can't show you a cup of tea.
Yes, exactly.
I'm enjoying my cup of coffee, so it's fine.
All right.
She's calling for...
Do you need to stop sharing?
I stop the share, that'll do it. Yeah. Stop recording. Okay. Right, I'll put up... I'll share my screen...
Age for that.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm being terribly inefficient today.
Want me to take it?
Is that Robert? Richard, yes, please.
Right, so reading the chart in front of me. the following committee members are seeking re-election. So that chairman is Eric Bodger, the treasurer to be Richard Walker, secretary to be Pauline Bell, the e-business representative Merv Quick, and the website Ron Wilkes. And then from a TripAdvisor's point of view, there's Ingrid Bond, Richard Hodgkinson, John Jones, Joy Matthews, and Alan Stubbs. So I'm assuming that we now need to just take a vote, do we? Or do we, how do you want to judge whether, do we want to do it individually, one by one, or as a group? What's easiest for everyone?
We usually do it as a group, and I guess people can raise their hands in the participants.
Oh, okay. So I think, and now, can we start with the left-hand side, which is, the actual committee members, so that's Eric, Richard, Pauline, Merv and Quick. Can I have a show of vote hands, please, for those that are supportive of that committee continuing? Lots of waving hands. Any thumbs down then, please? No? Okay, well, congratulations to Eric, Richard and Pauline, Merv and Ron. It looks like you're re-elected. And then the Trip Advisors, do we want to do a vote for them as well, Eric?
Yes, please.
Yes, okay. So could I please have a show of hands and thumbs up or whatever for those supporting Ingrid, Richard, John, Joy and Alan being the Trip Advisors? Super. And can I have any thumbs down or crossed hands or whatever? No, I think that's a safe that Ingrid, Richard, John, Joy and Alan, congratulations. You were also voted on as Trip Organisers for the next 12 months. Congratulations to all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. And
thank you, Robert.
We are slightly short of members. We've had several people resign, and I will talk about that later. But if anyone wants to join the committee, they would be extremely welcome. We don't meet that often in person. We do occasionally meet on Zoom, and you can do as much or as little work as you wish to. But it's pretty rewarding, and you get to see friendly faces on trips, which is always nice.
Okay. So thank you, Robert.
Pleasure.
Many thanks, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Shall I drop off then, Eric?
If you wish, I should.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful for all you've
done. No, not at all. Well, all the very best. And as I say, if there's any members can need any help with dealing with XPS or just general queries about their pension or just nervous about A or B or C, for goodness sake, please reach out. I'm here to help.
Thank
all
you
the best.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
They could put their address number on the payslip.
Email him.
Okay. So the sad bit first. In this last year and a bit, we have lost 52 members of the club that we know about. Where I know the date of death, I've put it in, but pension services didn't always tell us. In fact, we had to work quite hard to get names out of the pensions trust, pension services over time. I've put them in alphabetical order of surname, and I'll leave them up a little bit before we move on to the next page, so you can see who you knew and feel as sad as the rest of us do.
This list's the same as the one on the website, I assume, Eric, is it?
It is. That's where I got it from. It's... Oh, can you go back?
Yeah.
I think you've gone two slides forward, Richard. Yeah. I was sad, particularly sad about Andy Creason, because he was the guy who persuaded me to join IBM nearly 55 years ago, I suppose. But there are some relatively young people here as well. Very sad.
Oh, 21.
Okay. Shall we go on?
20.
Right. Well,
Sorry, Eric.
Yeah.
Did you deliberately skip the accepting the minutes of last year?
That should be next, I think.
No, I didn't deliberately skip it. I forgot.
A man after my own heart.
Yeah. Don't quite know how that happened, but do you want to go... essentially, has anyone got any modifications we need to make to the minutes?
Again, these are always put onto the website so people can read them there.
Well, as I raised this and stirred it, I would like to say I propose acceptance of last year's minutes.
Thank you very much, John.
Seconded.
Yeah. Anybody object to that? Right. In that case, I think the proposal is accepted, and I will sign the minutes, if we did such things, as being a true record of last year's meeting. We'll try and get out minutes for this year's meeting in good time. So you'll have to remember next year if you had any objections, or just let Pauline or me know of any changes that you need to have made. Well, thanks very much for joining. Okay, very improvised deal this year. What we did was, where we could run events, we did. Where we couldn't, ran Zoom calls. So a lot of people got to the Weald and Downland Living Museum. It was a drive-yourself trip. The clubhouse hosted Henry V, and we got a deal on tickets for that. We had two trips to the Bombay Sapphire Distillery, which was extremely interesting. We were sold out on South Pacific. I would love to have gone, but couldn't. We had a gardening talk with cream tea in the clubhouse. And we actually managed to run one coach trip. That was a hovercraft day. So we took a coach to the Hovercraft Museum in Leon Solent, then took a hovercraft to Rye, had lunch, took a hovercraft back to Southsea, where the coach was waiting for us. So that was a thing we couldn't have done as a drive yourself. Because of the COVID restrictions, we didn't have that much room on the bus, but it did prove an enjoyable trip for those who could get on it. We also ran tours up the tower of Winchester Cathedral. And every time we ran one, it filled up quickly, so we ran another one. And we went on running them until December, and I think by then the demand had dried up, but there's always a possibility of more if people are enthusiastic about it. For those who couldn't climb the horrible staircases in the cathedral, we also ran what the cathedral calls a super tour, where you got to stay on one level or have gentle climbs, and you got to see a lot of things that are not normally visible. Barbara Seville at the Mayflower, again, oversubscribed, but I think we had quite a short waiting list on that. Clubhouse lunch. I don't know what the feeling was about that. We're not going to run any unless there's great demand, because the price is really quite high for what you get. And so we're really amenable to suggestions from members. We had two bookings at the Merlin Ballet at the Mayflower, and a very expensive trip that wasn't well subscribed to the football pundits talking at the Mayflower in January. Could I have the next slide, please, Richard? So when we couldn't do that, and for those who couldn't travel, we ran all these Zoom talks. The one I should probably mention is the What's Artist Village one, where the speaker, unfortunately, had a family emergency and got called away. And we decided that we would bring them back in the autumn when people don't really feel like going out of doors and travelling, and to get the liveliness of the club going again. Are there any questions about the trips that we've run? Okay, let's look at the future then. So we've confirmed some drive-yourself events. Solent Sky Museum, I think, has already been distributed. The visit to the Fishbourne Roman Palace also been distributed, but we'll send the link out again. Our man in Havana is booked up, and so there may be returns available, but that's all. We're doing a drive-yourself trip to Romsey Abbey, and that's a good day, because earlier that day there's a free organ recital in the Abbey. And you'll get information of that when you book for the Abbey tour. And you've probably already had a chance to book for Cluedo. What we did was we waited until a couple of days before we had to commit and pay, and we bought all the tickets that we'd got orders for. So there are no more tickets available for Cluedo except for cancellations. And can I make a personal point? I got myself double booked for the evening. So if anybody has afternoon tickets they would like to swap for evening tickets, I should be most grateful to hear from you. Assuming nothing goes wrong with the lockdown situation, we have several coach trips planned. Stansted Garden tour is confirmed, and the link for that will be going out shortly. We're going to go to the Bristol Harbour Festival, but we don't know whether it'll be on the Saturday or the Sunday. As soon as we know, we'll put out booking information. You may remember in the depths of pre-pandemic time, we had a Sussex mystery tour planned. And those of you who went on the Cotswold tour will remember what fun these things are. We also had a Dorset tour, which I think we all ate rather well, excessively. And yes, so they're doing the same thing in Sussex. I don't know where the pub's going to be, but we will eat there. I'm not sure where we're seeing, but Merv will set it up. We're going to go to Kew Gardens, and that will be set up in the middle of September, probably around the 12th. We're told we can now book for National Trust properties and plan to go to Stourhead. That might not happen this year because we want to go when the gardens are at their best. Usual thing of a free time, just to coach to South Kensington, wander around the museums or do what you like. I don't think we'll try and set up another guided tour because we did one of those not very long ago. And a boat trip on the Thames from Marlow to Henley. Two towns which have sadly lost their breweries but are otherwise wonderful places. So any questions about the planned trips? Okay, I need to give lots of thanks now. The committee has been absolutely sterling over this period, and three members are retiring now after many, many years of service. Beth was chairman, I think, when I joined the committee. She then handled all the bookings for a while and many other things. I don't know how we would have managed without Beth, but we're going to have to in future. Roger Marlowe has organised trips, and I've been extremely grateful for the way committee meetings. He's just, you know, if I've gone off on a tangent, he will bring me back. If other people are getting sidetracked, he'll bring them back. He's just done wonderful things. And Ron Bowater, he was the one who first of all thought of the online talks from experience that they'd had in the Romsey Shed. And he used all his contacts to get us some really good ones. He'd been arranging trips for many years and done quite a lot of work on our website. So thank you very much to those three people, but also to all the continuing committee members, particularly the treasurer, who has an absolutely awful job. There are forms that IBM requires that keep changing. We have to price things to obey IBM rules. We didn't have to bother last year. We were able to spend more than half what we received. Sorry, more money than we received. But this year, we've had no first half grant. We had no second half grant last year, and we've got a lot in the kitty. Well, Richard will tell you about that in a couple of minutes, and we have to decide how to spend that. And until we know if IBM is going to give us any more money, we're being a little cautious, but not too cautious, because we won't get any money at all if we have too much in the kitty. So I think it's many thanks to everybody. Any questions? I don't know if people are asking questions but have forgotten to unmute, or if there are no questions. Okay, let's go on to the Treasurer's report.
And the others can go to the AOB, perhaps. Right, can everybody hear me? I'm doing my mouse and talking at the same time, so I am in control. I'm now page 13, I see. Right, okay. Right, so what a year. We started the year with 20,000 in the bank, because in 2020, if you remember, they gave us a wonderful first half subsidy, 7,000-8,000, which is half of the normal 16 that we always used to get. And then somebody somewhere said, oops, we've got a COVID epidemic, and no, you can't go anywhere. So all we were able to do basically is put 8,000 on top of the 12 we already had, and finished up with 20. Well, we spent a little on so the one coach trip in 2021, the one to Hovercraft. Well, that cost us 3,000 quid. I mean, they're not cheap, these coach trips. And then we had lots of Zoom calls and the drive yourself, which cost us very little. And So, there we are. I'm dithering. I'm looking at my own screen thinking, what the hell have I done? Right. Yes, the year before we had, say, lots of subsidy and we couldn't go anywhere. So last year we started the year with 20,000 and we're very tentative. Should we book coach trips or not? Well, as Eric said, we had the one on the hover. I was right there. And that knocked a little bit off the 20,000. Zoom talks about 100 quid, 60 quid a time. That doesn't do much. The theatre trips, we were still subsidising you guys, your tickets at 50%. That got through some money. We had about 250 quid back. Well, long leet that we paid for in, I think, 2019, a deposit. Long leet finally said, I don't think we can do it. So they gave us our money back. So that's even more money going into the bank. But then, so we managed all that time with that 20,000. Oh dear, what a pity. And no subsidy whatsoever. No sign, not a smidgen, no contact from HR, nothing. Are we being recorded? Yeah, probably. Well, never mind. I don't care. It's a fact. And about November, our contact, Harvey, who's a Southwest retiree, who's the contact on what they call the Finance Steering Committee, I think it is, FSC. He said, oh, we've had a pot of money from IBM and we're going to share it. How much have you got in the bank? And of course, we had to say, oh, 16,000. So surprise, surprise, we didn't get much of that pot. But I think some of the IBM clubs, like the Hertz Legal Club or the other employee clubs, they were struggling. I did hear, all right, we've been recorded. I did hear it is.
I can record it if you want.
No, it's all right. I have to stop sharing and then share a different screen, which is, I think, that one.
No, the other one.
These are the actual accounts which will hanging off the HERREC website. So here's our year in balance. Can you see the mouse? That's 16,000, whereas it was 20,000. We had the 20,000 coming in last year, which was the, sorry, that's the in the bank. and 1,600 quid going in, whereas the previous year we got it down to 9,000 the previous year, but then they gave us another 8, and so there was nothing much to spend it on. So all the details there, if you want to go through it, it's hanging off her rec. Okay.
Right, thank you, Richard. That's
drop me to go back to your charts again, Eric.
Yeah, you can do. Thank you.
No, not those. It's got so many screens here now. Where's it? That should have been that one. Trouble with only too many windows open. The Zoom is offering me all of them. Yeah. Gone there again.
Ah, it's okay. I've got it, Richard.
You've got it? All right, I'll stop. Yeah. Your turn then.
Yeah. Yes, for some reason, it was offering me everything except
right,
my own screen. And now it won't let me go full screen, so oh well. Ah, there we are. Good. So whiz to the end. Right.
That's last year.
Who cares about the rules? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what we've got here is a blank slide for plans for 2022-23. I've already introduced the things that are definitely in plan, and now is the time really to float some ideas. If there are any committee members who want to talk about their ideas first, we can see what the membership feels should take priority.
In what sense, Eric?
Well, I know that that there were people enthusiastic about other trips that are proposed but not in plan.
Oh, right.
We just wanted to give committee members the opportunity to speak up on those if they wish. For example, there was a move to go to a brewery in Dorset and possibly Lyme Regis as well. Another Dorset idea was to go to Weymouth for a kind of seaside trip. But there's also a glassworks where you can see people blowing glass, and we could take that in at the same time. So there are quite a few ideas, but this is really a chance when members of the club can look at what we've already proposed and say, but why don't we go to and come up with ideas?
Can I just come back, Eric? I just recalled something I was going to put in to emphasise. In the past, we have always booked in advance. So things like theatre, we've looked at a theatre trip, thumb in the wind, probably 60 tickets, and we bought 60 tickets because we had the money to do that. And as you said in your last pitch, that has all changed. So from now on, we're going to put the theatre trip on Eventbrite for you to pre-book, if you like. Well, actually book. Your money's up front. And then when we get to the cut-off date, that is the cut-off date, at which point we will buy the tickets so that to make sure we're not left with any, if you like, wasted tickets. So that's a different way that we're going to be working from now on. So it's important, if you want to go, to get your tickets purchased from Eventbrite, and then we will only buy what we have to buy. So there's no more.
The good thing about that, Richard, is that we can have a waiting list if we need it. If people come along and don't get on it, the waiting list is very useful because people do sometimes have to cancel.
Oh, yes.
I think that we need to emphasise the fact that by all means, put your name on a waiting list because there could be some vacancies.
Absolutely.
I think the important thing about the waiting list is most people want to buy two tickets. Eventbrite isn't very friendly. It doesn't let you say, I want two tickets on the waiting list. You have to put both of you on the waiting list.
Okay.
The other thing about this new method of working is it means that we can book more tickets, or we can reserve more tickets than we would have dared to do in the old days. So potentially, let's say we would normally have gone for 40 tickets. We can now see if we can get 60 tickets. And if we can, we reserve those. Come the cutoff date, if we've only sold 45, that's all we buy. But 45 is still better for the membership than the 40 that we would have dared to buy before. So, yes, it's it means that there are no spare tickets apart from returns, but we can actually accommodate more people at the theatre if the theatre can accommodate them.
I'm just interested, Eric, can you see everybody? Is there a way of finding out the number of people who are at the AGM today who come on trips? What's the percentage? Perhaps some people just come to the AGM.
Yeah.
Lots of faces, you know, there. But what is the percentage of people that do go on trips, say about 3 a year or something like that? Probably in the past rather than in our last 2 years.
Yeah.
It's a few faces that I only see at an AGM.
That's probably, yeah.
Yeah, if you put your hand up as a trip attender, I can see Dennis has got his hand up and Nick. It's getting better. And of course, there are a lot of people who are kindly conserving bandwidth by not having their faces up at all. But are there any proposals for trips? I would love to go on a trip, but you never go to, and tell us where you'd like to go.
Eric, Richard here, Richard H.
Richard.
Yeah, as well as Palmer's Brewery, which you touched upon just now, which we were looking at, and A Day in Lyme Regis, there are two others that I'd identify. One was Goodwood House, and possibly Chichester Canal, which might be a drive-yourself one. And also Kilmscott House on the Thames, which was William Morris's home for a while. There's three there that people might like to consider or be aware of.
Yep. Okay.
Somebody said that might be interesting to know. We've got a Shieldhall trip planned for the next couple of years.
Yeah, we weren't sure if people were wanting to go on boats twice in 1 year.
There's boats.
There is a big difference between Shieldhall and a Thames boat trip.
I think we're going to discuss the last four that Richard mentioned probably at the next committee meeting, try and fit them in.
Yeah.
It's quite easy.
It's been so uncertain that we haven't wanted to commit particular dates, but we felt reasonably secure over the summer, and that means we've got a lot of months of the autumn where we're hoping that we'll be able to run lots more trips.
I'm just wondering if we ought to be allocating a fixed subsidy per trip.
Two things.
Because some of the theatre trips, for instance, are costing about £3,000 a trip out of our bank balance, whereas coach trips tend to be £500 to £1,000. So if we say we had £1,000 per theatre, so the subsidy would have to change.
I think you'll find that the coach trips will increase in price due to the price of fuel these days. But two things I'd like to mention is that the membership must be aware that Eventbrite isn't for free, that there is some cost involved. So when we're calculating 50% for members, we have to take the Eventbrite charge off that. So it isn't a fully 50% subsidy. An important point as far as theatre trips are concerned, and I know that Joyce had problems with this, is where you book a ticket for a theatre on Eventbrite, that isn't the theatre ticket entrance ticket. You have to go to the committee member appointed to get your entrance ticket. It's terribly frustrating for staff members in theatre to be not verbally abused, but arguing with theatre staff that they've booked a ticket. So it's just the old system. When we book a theatre ticket, there's a committee member outside the theatre who physically hands over your theatre ticket entrance. The same will apply for our man in Havana at the Watermill that's going to be coming up.
Okay. Sorry, Ingrid, I wasn't laughing at you. I'd just seen a chat that just came in. Somebody's suggesting we invest our money in crypto. I'm sorry, that's beyond my... I'm not there to do that. If somebody else wants to be a treasurer and play with crypto, then... Ooh. Yes. No, sorry.
Oh, dear. I don't get rid of that.
Anyway, lots of options there. But bear in mind, so all these extra trips, they all come out of our 16 grand, 20. And that's now a finite amount of money. We cannot guarantee that's going up. I don't know what's I'd like to know what's happened. Why do we suddenly got no money from IBM? I mean, what's changed? Nobody's actually said. I mean, okay, they saw because of COVID, we weren't going anywhere. Well, that's fair enough. But now COVID's over, excuse me. Why can't we have our subsidy back? What's happened? Anybody know?
Do you think
I suppose the directors aren't getting any more money because profitability's down.
Is it? Sounds like shareholders are doing all right.
Do you think it's coming from far above, sort of corporate, or do you think it's still in the UK? I mean, it's difficult to know that, isn't it? Even what Robert said.
It's always been the UK has been very good to its retirees.
Yes.
Apparently the Yanks get nothing.
Mm, that's what I mean. I'm just wondering whether they suddenly realised that.
Could be. I thought there were only three countries in the world that got retiree programs.